Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Pastor Dallas, and I personally want to thank you for purchasing or receiving this CD. It is our hope and prayer that our ministry blesses and enriches your life in such a spectacular way that you can noticeably see a change in not just your life, but that change also has a way of impacting and affecting your entire family. We pray the Lord's blessings upon you continually. And as you listen to every word that comes through this CD message, we pray that you will see the transformation of the Lord and sense the power and anointing of the Lord as he was resonating in our fellowship. Now sit back and listen to this. This morning, I want you to turn with me in your Bible to the book of Numbers. And we're going to go to the 9th chapter. Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you that's here. Amen. All of you who are joining us through live stream, amen. We praise God for each and every one of you. Numbers chapter 9, and we're going to start our reading at verse number 15. Numbers 9, beginning our reading at verse number 15. And we're going to read down through the 23rd verse. And it says, and on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tent. At the command of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the command of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the command of the Lord, they abode in their tents. And according to the command of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from even until morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed, whether it was from day or by night, that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the command of the Lord, they rested in their tents. And at the command of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the command of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Amen. For we know that the Lord's word is blessed indeed. And I want to talk with you for a moment about following God's timing. Following God's timing. In this particular scripture, we see how the children of Israel had to surrender their desires to the timing, to the move, to the command, to the word of God. This word is for anybody who's ever gotten tired of their present situation and you wanted to dig yourself out, get yourself out, move yourself out when you know God said, be still. Or this is for somebody that wanted to stay right where you are, not change, not move, not adjust, not be changed, when you know God is trying to get your attention and tell you to move. Isn't it just like God to speak to us, to tell us what he wants us to do, and a lot of times it's opposite of what we want to do ourselves? Thank God that he's not some weak, inept God that is going to just fall or change or shift at every whim based on how we feel. But I thank God that he's the God that does not change. For the Bible says yesterday and today, tomorrow, he will be the same. If there is any constant that we can depend on, we can depend on the consistency of God. Hallelujah. I thank him that the pressure that we face does not change his mind. I thank God that our tests don't come and catch him unaware. I thank God that we might have to have a plan B, but whenever God speaks a thing, the Bible tells us that he knows the end of a thing from the beginning of a thing. And everything that God allows us to face is so that we might come in lockstep with what his will is concerning us. And in all of this, God has a timing for everything. Ecclesiastes tells us that under heaven there is a time and a season for all things. And I want you to know that just because you get tired, it don't mean that your season is up. And just because you feel like changing, it doesn't mean that that's the season or the time for you to make a change. Tell your neighbor, it's in your best interest if you follow God's timing. Hallelujah. There is a definite connection to hearing God and believing God. You have to believe that which you hear and hear that which you have already believed. There is also a connection between knowing him and knowing what his word says. For Romans 10, 14 through 17 says it like this: how shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they've been sent? And as it's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah has says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then we understand that by faith, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. I want you to know today that it matters what you listen to. It matters what you're willing to hear. You can't get a word from the Lord if you never get into his presence. You can't understand what God is saying if you don't seek to know him in his word. My mom used to say it like this, that God will be nothing else, nothing more, and nothing less than what he has revealed to us in his word. So we have to get to know him. Knowing him is directly connected to us knowing the word of God. The prerequisite for following God is to adhere what he has written concerning him in his word. What does the Bible cover then? 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4 says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, according as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So the word of God gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness. I'm going to ask you a question. Does the word of God give you the answer for everything? Wrong. The word of God don't tell you how to cook chicken soup. The word of God don't tell you to go see your physician. But what the word of God does is it answers the issues that flow out of life. The word of God is not going to tell you what clothes to put on in the morning. But the word of God will give you the wisdom to check yourself out in the mirror to make sure that you look presentable. There are some questions and some answers that you might look for in the word of God that you won't find. But everything that flows out of life, you will find the wisdom in the word of God to give you what you need. Hallelujah. You won't find answers to all of your scientific questions, but we understand that there's science in the book. Hallelujah. Amen. So it will answer those important things in life that you need to be able to ascertain and pull from to be able to be blessed. Hallelujah. The word of God tells us that scripture, all scripture, is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for this: doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. This is what the word of God does. The word of God directs us in life to help us that when the issues of life come, we'll have a reservoir of wisdom to pull from so we won't make a misstep. The word of God won't tell you how to answer, but it will give you the wisdom and the right reference of mind of what not to say and what to say to make an impact in your situation. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word of God. The word contains foundational principles that enable people to become imbued, or what that word means is to become saturated. This is what the word of God does. The word of God saturates you with the wisdom of God. How is it that we can exercise wisdom? It's when we don't read the word of God. Hallelujah. So the word of God saturates us with the mind of Christ to be able to function independently in a godly manner. Watch this. Thereby causing God's law to be expanded to beyond just the letter of the thing, but it makes it a spiritual demonstration in our lives. So God grants us wisdom to know how to properly apply the scripture that's written on paper so that when we live it, it's living in us. The word of God lives down on the inside of us, and it breathes through us. So when we submit to the word of God, we become living epistles. This is why the Bible says we are living epistles read of all men. So when people see us acting with wisdom, they see the word of God. When they see us loving our enemies, then they're seeing the word of God. We need to make a physical demonstration of what the word says to what the word does in us. Our lives in the Holy Spirit become the result of our intentional pursuit of his will being performed in our lives. God's will is intentional that we will be picked up from the guttermost and that we will be elevated to live and walk in his uttermost. Hallelujah. Our desires then becomes the urgency to maintain rhythmic procession to his will, his direction and his cadence for our lives. I just want to walk lockstep on your beat. I'm not trying to walk to the beat of my own drum, but I'm trying to walk in rhythmic procession and of the beat that God has placed down on the, it's a holy beat that God has placed down on the inside of us. It's a timely beat right down on the inside of us. Sometimes the beat's a little bit slower than at other times, because there's sometime when God wants you to get a word through, but then there's sometimes when the word wants you to take a step back and think this thing through. So I want to be in lockstep with what the cadence of God's will and desire is in our lives. Hallelujah. So we have to bring our lives then and our desires into alignment with the one who has begun a good work in us and knew what we were going to be before we became a being. Hallelujah. And we have to be able to agree with the narrative. When we understand that we have to move in the timing of God and wait to hear his voice, wait for instructions, then what we're doing is agreeing with the narrative. Tell your neighbor, stop trying to change the story. See, sometimes we try and become our own story editor. And we will try to adjust the story so that it benefits us better in the end. But I've been walking with God long enough to know that when I go through trouble, this is when I've learned the most about his character and his nature. Hallelujah. I've seen him work out problems in our lives. And this is how we see the strength of God. I believe it was said earlier that in our weakness, his strength is perfected. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have to learn how to allow God to be God, to do what he wants to do in and through us and with us, so that we can become what he saw us being before we were even created. So in our text, the text that we were reading in Numbers is surnamed the Song of the Cloud. The stage is set for the actual departure of the children of Israel from Mount Sinai. It's important to understand that when the children of Israel moved and where they camped involved more than just getting up and deciding to go. But there was order in every move of God. Whenever God sends you anywhere, he's not just going to send you without direction and instructions, and he's not going to send you out of order, out of step, and out of time. This is why we have to learn how to wait on the timing of God, because before you can get to step B, you've got to fully satisfy step A. Because when you get to step B, you have to be ready for all the tests and the trials that come along with it. But we have to learn how to be patient in the eyes and in the sight of God, and let him do what he wants to do in us, and stop trying to skip steps because we've gotten tired along the way. It's in our best interest to let God be God and let him do it the way that he wants to do. So I will say it again, that in every step of God, in every move of God, there is order. I'm going to say it a third time, because sometimes we like to move in disorder even if we're comfortable. We like to move in comfortability, but God moves in divine order. So every move of God is moved in order. There is this dangerous idea in church that I'm just going to hear God and then I'm going to do what I hear him say. For this reason, there are some in the body of Christ who weren't sent with apostolic charge on their lives, but they moved out of ego-driven desires. So you have some that were never sent in the first place. They just got tired of where they were, felt like they could do it better, and got up and went. There is this this undercurrent of disorder and disruption and disobedient and dissing those that spent time trying to pour into you. That's right, it's called rebellion that we see in the church. In following God's timing, you have to make sure that you're just not following what seems like it ought to be right because it's what I think about my situation. Because sometimes God will use unconventional methods to pull you out of a mess that you got yourself in. And sometimes the thing that looks like it ought to be right is not actually a right thing. This is why the Bible says there is a way that seems right. It looks like it's an answer from God, but everything that say it's praying for you is not praying for you, but they might be praying on you, looking for your vulnerabilities to take advantage of you, causing you to give in to your ego-driven self and step you out there all alone. Be careful that you're not moving outside of God's timing for your life. Hallelujah. Be mindful that you're not gravitating to somebody just because they tell you what you want to hear. I've been walking with people long enough. I thank God for Pastor Larry. I thank God for Bishop Gaskins. I thank God for Apostle Hill. I thank God for Apostle Clarissa, because they just wouldn't agree with you because it's what you wanted to hear. But sometimes the most important one that you need in your life is the one who's willing to make you mad. The one who's willing to challenge your mindset. The ones that question your ideologies to make sure that you're truly listening to God. Sometimes these are the ones that we run from, but these are the ones that we need to run to and hold on to. Hallelujah. So just as the word of God is not intended to make you feel better about feeling bad. This is not what the word of God does. The word of God is not to make you feel better about feeling bad. It's not to make you feel better about the messes that we're in. But the word of God intends to give us the wisdom to avoid the mess. Hallelujah. You change the baby, not perfume the diaper. Until the appropriate time, you change the baby until they're of age to be potty trained. And some of us, it's potty training time, but we want God to put perfume on the pamper. But God wants us to be potty trained at the appropriate time, watch this, so that the fruit of the looms don't get soiled. It's much different when you soil a pamper and when you soil the fruit of the loom. The pamper is meant to contain the mess, but the fruit of the loom will have everybody smelling your mess. Not only will they smell it, but they'll see it because it'll just ooze all down. So the word of God is meant to help to bring discipline in our lives. Well, we won't be willing to walk around being a soiled mess. We got to learn how to move in God's timing so we won't be a soiled mess. Running around thinking one thing, praying, spraying perfume and Axe body wash. And I don't care how much you spray, you got to change that thing that you got on you. And you got to stop making messes and learn how to walk in discipline. My God. My God. I remember being at home with Ayana, and Ayana was getting older, and she was still a baby, but she had enough sense. I walked in her room, and she had made a mess, but she was trying to change her own diaper. And I called her mom, and I said, I think it's time to potty train her, because I just walked in on her changing her own diaper without any help, any assistance. She had watched long enough. Listen, she had watched long enough, and she knew I made a mess, and I've got to do something about this mess. So it didn't make sense for us to try and force her to stay in diapers. We had to recognize where she was and make moves. But I'm here to tell you, God knows every phase of life that you're going to get, when you're going to get there, and what it's going to take to get you there before you. So allow him to train you to do what he needs to do so that you can move to the next dimension in your life. There's a timing for everything. Don't make the mistake of breaking fellowship because God's timing and direction doesn't align with your egos and ideas. This is what God wants to do. There is an order in the move of God. Going over into the 10th chapter of the book of Numbers, it gives the order of the movement. Turn with me there, Numbers chapter 10, verse 11. And it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month, in the second year, that the cloud was taken up off the tabernacle of the testimony. And because we understood what it said in chapter 9, when the cloud was removed, that was indicative that it was time to pack up and move out. Now, I told you, they didn't just move any old way, but they moved in order. Listen to this degree of order in which they moved in. Verse number 12, and the children of Israel took their journeyings out of the wilderness of Sinai, and the cloud rested in the wilderness of Paran. And wherever the cloud rested, that was indicative of where they were to pitch their tents. They had to pay attention to the timing and the move of God and follow where he directed. Verse number 13, and they took first their journey according to the command of the Lord by the hand of Moses. God gave the command, but they had a leader that they followed that was placed by God. There's still a such thing called pastors. And I don't care how many of them out there doing whatever they doing. That don't have nothing to do with me. This is true gospel. And that's just it. Pastor down the street don't have nothing to do with here. I don't have nothing to do with pastor down the street. When God gives the command, he gives the command to a leader. I'm going to say it like this. You are in your home as a leader. When God gives you a command for your family, the kids don't get up and do their own thing. But you give a command for how the house is going to be established. You set the tone for the house, and the kids have to follow the order of the house. When you're at work, everybody can't be the boss. There's somebody that is the CEO. There's somebody that establishes policy. Everybody's not running around establishing their own policy, doing what's right in their own eyes, but they do that to establish order. If we accept order at work, and if we accept order while we're driving down the street, red means stop, green means go. And if you don't pay attention to the order, you're bound to have an accident. But when it comes to church, nobody wants to listen to what the pastor has to say because they're too busy. I'm following after God, but God has a delegate. God has a delegate. And listen, I'm not trying to tell you this to manipulate you to do what I say, but it's the order of God. Hallelujah. It's still, whenever God is moving, he moves us in order. And they took their first journey according to the command of the Lord by the hand of Moses. In the first place were the standard of the camp of the children of Judah according to their armies. And over his host was Nashan, the son of Abinadab. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Issachar was Nethaneel, the son of Zuar. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Zebulun, there was Eliab, the son of Helon, and the tabernacle. Watch this. The tabernacle was taken down first. And the sons of Gishar, the sons of Merari, set forward bearing the tabernacle. Notice the tabernacle was the first thing you saw moving. The tabernacle, the place where worship went. The children of Judah were the first ones in the order, and their armies praise and worship. Whenever you are moving in the time of God, to be able to understand how to move and where to move and when to move, you move with praise and worship. You move with instruction, and you move where the presence of God is already moving into. And when you read through this narrative, you'll find that for every tribe of Israel, there was an order in which they walked in. Look at your neighbor and say, stay in order. And this is necessary. This is necessary. The Bible says that when they departed from the mountain of the Lord, the Ark of the Covenant, this went before them. Well, watch this. The Bible says that wherever it was that they pitched their tent in a particular place, that there was a cloud that stayed over the tabernacle. And whenever it was that the armies of the word of the Lord got up to take their movement, that there was a cloud that went over them as the cloud stayed over them. This is indicative that it was the cloud of the Lord that was above them and the cloud of the Lord that moved before them. When you're moving in the timing of God, you'll know you're walking in the way of God, because His Spirit will go before you and will give you instruction and direction along the way. It would have been catastrophic for the children of Israel to rest their feet in a place where the Spirit of God was not. When God says move, move. And when God says stay your feet, stay your feet. Hallelujah. So the cloud was the cloud of the Lord above them by day, and it was a pillar of fire by night. And wherever the ark was set before them, Moses sang a song, and he said this: rise up, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered. Ooh, now this is powerful. I want you to be able to see this. The children of Israel came out of Egypt, a nation that did not know how to fight. But because God was with them, He began to cause them to be victorious in battle, and they almost didn't have to even depend on their own strength. They had to be willing to obey where God sent them and what He called them to do. So Moses would sing this song and says, let your enemies be scattered, because as much as we walk, I want you to understand, your enemies see you moving. Your enemies know who your God is and know what He's capable of doing in your life. As a matter of fact, the reason why they're your enemies the way that they're your enemies is not because they're jealous of you. It's that they hate the God that you serve. This is the problem. The problem is not with you, so don't internalize the issue. The problem is that they hate God, and they'll do whatever they need to do to fight against God moving in the earth. So when they see you move, they get intimidated. They get nervous, because they know wherever you go, God is getting ready to show up, and God is getting ready to show out on your behalf. Hallelujah. And when it rested, He said, O Lord, to the many of thousands of Israel, there's a tremendous blessing that we will enjoy when we move in succession with the leading of the Lord. God's moves are structured and ordered. They're strategic and purposeful. The way that God moves is not always the same, so you might not be able to trace Him. But when you can't trace Him, You have to learn how to trust him. Because God will do a new thing if you let him. And then he's not locked into a box when you follow him. So his moves are not always the same. The days of their resting varied. The days of their traveling varied. But the one thing that stayed the same was order. God never adjusted order. When God gives you a command, he's not going to change his mind because we don't understand the direction. Sometimes it's not that we don't understand the direction at all. Sometimes it's just that we're too hard-headed to want to listen to the direction because the direction is not what we want for ourselves. Verse number 33 of Numbers says, "And they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey, and the ark of the Lord went before them 3 days' journey to search out for a resting place." How many of you need rest? You need rest? You got to let God search out your resting place. Oof, don't try to make a place that looks like you're going to get rest. But you got to let God search out your resting place on your behalf. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying this to his people. As I am leading you, I am also covering you. And when you're moving in God, your enemies get nervous. They want to fight, but deep down on the inside, they know that God fights for you. They've tried to discredit you. Somebody has been in your way talking negatively about you. I'm preaching to myself, but I'm talking to you. They tried it. They tried it long enough. They tried it. They've tried to fight against you. They've tried to lie. I'm going to keep saying that word, try, because they may try it don't mean they're going to succeed. They have tried to lie on you. They have tried to gather themselves together and plot against you. I want you to know right now that people that don't like each other will get together and try to come against you. On one thing, they will agree that they hate you. And they will try to do whatever they can do to fight against you. But I'm here to tell you this morning that if God be for you, who can be against you? I'm here to tell you this morning that God is still destroying formed weapons. Whew. The weapon is formed. It's there to be used. But God says no weapon that is formed against you shall be able to prosper. As a matter of fact, the missiles that they try to launch can't launch. The gun that they try to fire can't fire. The knife that they try to stab you with in the back is too dull to break your skin. I want you to know the fist that they think they are about to throw, the blow that they think they are about to land, there's no power in the swing because power still belongs to God. I want you to know right now that the Bible has a word concerning us, and we are more than conquerors. The Bible has a word concerning us that we are more than conquerors. We are always victorious. We are always on the come up. We are always the head and not the tail. We are always blessed and not the borrowers. We are always above and not beneath. The word of the Lord is sure concerning his people. Hallelujah. And it behooves us to move in the timing and in the order and in the structure of God because there's victory in order. Hallelujah. Hurry, y'all, sit down 1 second. I'm almost done. I wanted to calm down. I'm losing my voice, but I wanted to just kind of talk this thing through. The word of the Lord says, "Sing, O barren. Sing that thou didst not bear. But break forth in the singing and cry aloud that thou didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Y'all hear me? Enlarge the place of your tent. God's got a word in the middle of what looks like a barren situation. It might look like you are in desolation and in a wasteland. It might look like there is no hope, but the Lord told me to tell you today, enlarge your tents. Your enemy can't touch you when you move in the timing and in the order and in the structure of God. It looks like you're getting ready to fall, but don't fall for what it looked like. You have to move off of what God said. It might look like your bank account is empty. It might look like your body is riddled with disease, but God still has a word to speak to his people. He says, enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch forth the curtain of thine inhabitation. Spare not and lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. You got to be willing to get out of how you feel long enough to move to what you heard God say. It might not look like you're supposed to be moving right now. You're barren. What you preparing for kids for? Right? So God says, enlarge. Right? For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on thy left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither shalt thou be confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember thy reproach. The Lord is getting ready to turn it around for somebody. I don't know what you've been waiting for God to do, but God is getting ready to turn some situations around. You've heard the story of the mourning long enough, but God is getting ready to turn your mourning into gladness. God is getting ready to turn your tears into joy. God is getting ready to turn your weeping into dancing. God is getting ready to turn your night into morning. God is getting ready to take you from being a victim to being a victor. God is getting ready to turn some things around in your life. I wish you would clap your hands right now and say, God, I thank you for the turnaround. Hallelujah. And that's not all. He says, for the mountains shall depart and the hills shall be removed. It don't even look like a way could be made, but God says, I'm getting ready to move obstacles out of your way. He says, when you move in my timing, when you adhere to my voice, when you subscribe to my wisdom, watch this, and when you employ my power, then I'm getting ready to move obstacles that look like they can't be moved. Who else but God can move a mountain? Who else but God can cause the sea to open up and cause you to walk through on dry ground? Who else but God can command the angelic host to come and fight on your behalf? Who else but God can do what appears and seems like, watch this, and should be immovable? Last time I checked, the mountains were here before us. But God loves us so much that he will shift that thing to give you access to get to the place where God put a mountain right there, and he designed that mountain to be moved when you showed up. Stop talking to your mountain. Start talking to God. Stop looking at your mountain. I'm climbing up the rough side of the mountain. I don't have to climb the mountain. I can speak to the mountain. And the Bible says that he'll cause it to be removed into the sea. Glory to God. It says, and those who are afflicted, tossed with tempest and comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and lay thy foundations with sapphires, and I will make thy windows agates and the gates carbuncles and all the borders of pleasant stones. In other words, what all this means is God's got unprecedented blessings. What God is getting ready to do for you, oof, my God, you've been faithful over the few things. And God is getting ready to cause you to be ruler over the many things. You have stayed right there. You didn't trade in your profession. You kept praying and it didn't seem like it was working. You kept fasting and it didn't look like it was changing. You treated them right and they still treated you wrong. But I'm here to tell you that God is getting ready to do something that's unprecedented in your life. Eyes haven't seen it. Ears haven't heard it. Neither has it entered into the hearts of man, what God is getting ready to do for you. Woo. God is about to do something in your life that will break the neck of your naysayers. Your naysayers won't have strength in the neck to be able to think about what they're getting ready. God is getting ready to turn all your haters into bobbleheads, and they won't be able to move around and speak on your behalf. I hear him saying right now, I'm getting ready to break the jawbone of the enemy where they won't even have a voice to be able to speak negatively in your life. God is getting ready to turn some things around. And then it says, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. And great shall be the peace of your children. What you have sown into your children will come to fruition. Don't stop praying. They made mistakes. They may have messed up. They may have gone down the wrong road. But all is not lost, I'm here to tell you. As long as there is life in their body, there's still an opportunity for God to move. And I'm telling you this morning that God told me to tell you that everything you have sown into the lives of your children, watch this, the blessing may not have come as you intended for it to come. The way it may not have been made, the way you wanted it to have been made. Things may have happened that you didn't desire to have happen, but God is getting ready to turn some things around in the lives of your posterity. And the covenant of the Lord shall be established. The covenant of the Lord, it shall be established. The word of the Lord, the promises that he made shall be established. Here's your prayer. Lord, make your voice louder in the ear gates of our children. Make your voice louder in the ear gates of our children than the noise of this generation. This noisy in this, everybody's got a lot to say. Social media is a noisy place. But God, I thank you that your voice is louder than social media. I thank you that your voice is louder than the prince of the power of the air. I thank you that your voice is louder than every negative influence in this world. Cause the allure of your majesty and splendor to be more pleasing than anything that this world can offer. The Lord will cause the children, cause them, God, to fall out of love with the things of this world and the things that they try to promise. But let the anointing that has been placed in the lives of our children abide and manifest even right now. Every time you pray for your baby, you release the anointing to flow in their lives. God, let your oil flow. They might be outside of my house, but let your oil flow. There might be limits to my words and limits to my power, but your power knows no limit. Your oil knows no place where it can't flow. It can get into every creek and crevice. It can get into every small place. It can get into those hidden areas, the things that I don't know that might be going on in the life of this next generation. Put your oil on everything, every place that their feet trod, everything that they think about, the things that they hear. Pour your oil in that they fall in love with you and out of love with this world. Hallelujah. And I'm almost done, but it says, in righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee, watch this, shall fall for thy sake. They might be plotting and planning, but they're plotting and planning their own demise. And what their evil schemes are for you, God's gonna turn it right back around on their head. Behold, they shall gather together, but not by me. And whoever shall gather together against thee, God says, they shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and they bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy, but no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, every lying tongue, every scheming tongue, every manipulating tongue, every wayward tongue, every demonic tongue, no, nothing that ever is spoken against you shall be able to prosper. But God says, that word, I'm going to condemn it. I'm going to bring it down. I'm going to prove it to be wrong. I'm going to show my power. Because this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. This is a heritage. I'm walking in a heritage of overcomers. I'm walking in a family tree. I have a family tree of people that God used to be overcomers and more than conquerors, and I'm in that lineage. But this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. No weapon. No weapon. No weapon. You got to remember the promises of God. It might be difficult. It might be hard. It might look impossible. It might look like the end is near, but no weapon. No weapon will prosper. Every plot will fail. Every lie will fail. Every deceiver will be brought to shame. The feeble attempts to discredit your integrity will turn on them. And as for you, God says, follow my timing. Don't focus on your enemies, but focus on the one who is leading you. Don't look at the enemies around you. Look at the cloud that's in front of you. Listen to his direction. Pay attention to his voice. And today the Lord told me, I want you to pray for every one of them that are in the room this morning. There are some of you, you don't tell everybody the stuff that you're going through. You don't make it common knowledge, but you handle your business. And sometimes you lay down in the bed of affliction and tears. And sometimes you're walking around in bitterness. And everybody don't necessarily know what's going on. But the Lord told me today, I want you to pray for everybody that comes into the room. He says, and as a sign of the move of God in your life, this is what he said. He says, I want you to pray for their eyes. I want you to pray for their ears. I want you to pray for their temples. I want you to pray for their feet. And I want you to pray for their hands. He says, because as you lay hands on their on those points, he says, I'm going to cause foolish things, foolish demonstrations to confound the wise. He says, as I pray for your eyes, the eyes of your children are going to be open. And as I pray for your ears, the ears of your children are going to be open to hear the voice of God. And as I pray for your temples, the mind of your children are going to be unblocked, and they're going to be able to receive instruction. And as I pray for your feet, as you walk before them, they're going to walk in your steps. And as I pray for your hands, you're going to lay hands on them, and you're going to see deliverance. So he said, I want you to anoint everybody. And now I want to speak to those of you. I don't know how many of you are watching live stream today, and I really don't care. I hope you can watch it today, and it's going to be streaming so you can watch it for the rest of the week. The Lord told me to tell you, because I can't lay hands on you where you are, because you got to be in the room. Sometimes you got to be in the right place to get hands laid on. Sometimes you got to be in the right place to receive that blessing that God has for you and for your house. Sometimes you got to make a bold step to get where you need to be. But I didn't leave you out. The Lord didn't leave you out. This is what he said to tell you today. It is time to regather. It is time to regather in the houses of worship. The Lord told me to tell you to get out of your beds of convenience and sense the urgency of the timing and the shift of God. He says, I told you at the beginning of this pandemic that I refuse to call this the new normal. Some of you can go back and you can look at the tapes. I'm not lying because it's the truth. I refuse to call it the new normal because sometimes people will take abnormal situations, and because we're able to adapt, they will normalize abnormality. But God told me to tell you this morning to call it what it is. He says, right now is the time that we need to see change. And we need to make the shift. We need to change. You need to make the shift. Watch this. The Lord asked me to ask you a question. And I'm going to ask this question. I'm almost done. I know I said it three times. This is my third close. He said, what if you're attempting to function through what is really dysfunction, and God is getting you to the point where you'll reclassify it? Because you're calling dysfunction function. And because we can adapt, you've adapted to dysfunction. And now because you've been so dysfunctional, you're calling it function. But what God is doing is bringing you to a place where you'll see it as dysfunction. And he wants you to call it for what it is. In this season of change and transformation, we need to speak the truth. Stop calling the abnormal normal. Stop trying to make ourselves feel better about mess. Stop calling clutter an organized mess. It's clutter. Clean it up. This is the season for change. And the enemy would have it that your urgency to enter into the house of God wanes and your urgency reduces. But I'm telling you right now, those of you who are watching, I'm telling you right now, this is the time for change. The Lord says, fall out of love of the place where you have been. And behold, I'm doing a new thing in you. This is the time, and he is reigniting those who will yield to his command. I heard the Lord say, for I am removing candlesticks out of their places because they have chosen not to burn, and he's setting another in their place. Now is the time to heed the voice of God. The Bible says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holies by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Watch this. Let us draw nigh with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure waters. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful who promised. Now let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much more to as you see the day approaching. This is what the Lord told me to tell you. He says that this is the time where the wise virgins and the unwise virgins are being clearly set apart. He told me to remind you to keep oil in your lamps. He told me to tell you to keep your spiritual senses in tune with the timing of God. The falling away is happening, and don't let it happen to you. But this is the time to say, Lord, I need the oil. So this morning, I want to do what God has called me to do. Give me something worshipful, bro. I want to pray for you this morning, and here's the instruction. If you got hair covering your ears and your temples, I need you to pull your hair back. If you got on shoes, I need you to take your shoes off. If you have on glasses, you can wear them when you get up here so you can see. But once you get here, take off your glasses and close your eyes. if you could, if everybody could line up in this aisle right here for me. Right where you're standing, when you get in line, just begin to worship the Lord. Father, I thank you. And we walk in what your will is concerning us. Lord, we move with obedience to what your command is. And I thank you right now, Father, for the effectiveness of your word. For you never tell us to do anything that's just for show. But Father, there's great significance in what this move is. And I thank you for the releasing of your power and your anointing in the name. I thank you for the move of your power. I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Father, as we begin to lay hands upon your people, I thank you right now for a flow of your power. For God, I thank you that it's not me. There's no power in me, and there's nothing in this oil, but I thank you that it's just symbolic of your precious Holy Spirit. Father, I avail myself as a servant of God in the name of Jesus. That through the laying on of hands, God, I thank you for signs, wonders, miracles. I thank you for deliverance. I thank you for opening up the prison doors and setting captives free. I thank you for the promises of God coming to fruition, not just for this generation, but for our posterity, for the next generations to come. And I bless you for it now. Father, we surrender ourselves. Come on, begin to worship the Lord like you mean it. Come on, open up your mouth and begin to worship the Lord. Father, I thank you for moving in this place. I thank you for healing. I thank you for deliverance. I thank you for salvation. I thank you for reclaiming backsliders. I thank you for the safety and security of our children. In the name of Jesus. I thank you right now, Father God, that we're going to fall out of love with this world and more in love with you in the name of Jesus. And we decree, Father God, that the houses of worship will be refilled, not just the malls and not just the grocery stores and not just the movie theaters and not just restaurants, but the houses of worship shall be refilled again on Sunday with people that would desire your presence, those that desire to worship in the name of Jesus. And I thank you right now, Father God, that the glory of the latter house so far outweigh the glory of the former house. And I thank you for what you're going to do, and not just in this place, but in every house of worship. Set your glory on us, God. Set us on fire, God. Reignite your people, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it now. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to TGT Speaks, our multimedia voice emanating from the True Gospel Tabernacle Church of Detroit. You can subscribe to us at TGT Podcast on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Spotify. If you like TGT Podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give us a review. And also, if you would like to donate to our ministry, you can visit our website at www.tgtchurch.org and give your tax-deductible donation through PayPal. We really appreciate the generous and tangible love gift of any monetary denomination from our friends and partners. And we commit that your love gift enables us to continue furthering the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your support, and we'll see you next week.